Okay, so I'm not necessarily someone that has a hard time sleeping. Like once I'm asleep, I have typically a restful sleep. I'm not really tossing and turning, but I noticed, and I think we were talking about this on the podcast, like I was getting into this really bad habit where I was falling asleep on my phone and I just knew there was no way that was good for me. Like I consciously was aware of the fact that this wasn't good and I was doing it anyway. And then I started to use Hatch, which I'll tell you more about in a second because the hype is very much real. But I will tell you that I really do notice a difference when I wake up because it just feels like more of a restful sleep than I even knew was possible. Like I would have told you before this that I felt that I had a pretty restful sleep. And I think that I did, but this took it to a whole other level. So the thing is, like, there are so many things that want to keep us up at night, whether it's social media, our to-do lists, our favorite shows. A million things don't want you to sleep, but Hatch does. And Hatch helps you choose sleep and creative bedtime habits that make you feel better at night and energized in the morning. By the way, that's the thing in terms of energized in the morning. I was waking up to this like very jarring phone alarm, as I'm sure many of you are. And I had this moment where I was like, it doesn't have to be like this. And it doesn't. With the Hatch Restore, not only can you wake up to kind of a calming sound, but also the sunrise light. It just feels very peaceful. Like you have to try it to know what I mean. But once you try it, you will get it. And with the Hatch Plus subscription, you can unlock premium routine building features like Cue to Unwind, which signals you when it's time for bed, and Pillow Talk, which is an audio series, kind of like your favorite bedtime TV shows without the screens that keep you up. Because again, that was my thing. I wanted to get rid of the screens. I am such a fan of this, and I've gotten it for so many people, and it has been so beneficial. Right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off your purchase of the Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/CBC. Visit hatch.co/CBC to get $20 off and free shipping. hatch.co/CBC.
It's summertime, and that means it's time to get outside and enjoy the weather with some crisp, refreshing Bud Lights. Bud Light has the perfect summer lineup with Bud Light Lime and Bud Light Orange, both brewed with real citrus peels. New and just in time for summer is Bud Light Lemon Tea, brewed with real lemon peels and tea leaves. It's the ideal drink for summer, but it's only here for a limited time, so get it before it's gone. And to really get you in the summer spirit, Bud Light is giving everyone the chance to win the getaway of a lifetime. You can win 2 tickets aboard a VIP cruise to the Bahamas this summer, featuring a live performance by Jake Owen, and of course, plenty of Bud Light. For a chance to win, simply post your Bud Light summertime photos using the hashtag #RealEnoughToGetAway and #BudLightContest on Facebook and Instagram. See BudLight.com/RealEnoughToGetAway for more details. Hi guys, I'm Emma.
And I'm Julie.
And we're the girls behind Comments by Celebs. And welcome to Jordan Gate Part 5. I cannot believe those words are coming out of my mouth.
I can't believe what I'm about to say, but I think you're going to think it too. God, I hope this is the last part.
I know. It's too much for everyone involved, like aside from obviously all of them, but also all of us. It's really, it brings up a lot of emotions, more than I even would want to admit.
More than I even knew I had.
I know. More than, yeah, definitely than Julie knows she had. Here's the deal, full disclosure. We just finished recording our emergency Taylor Swift Scooter Braun podcast. So honestly, typically anything involving this Jordan Gate saga, we would be like so intensely, it would be the only thing we could focus on. But because of what happened yesterday, we couldn't. So our attention was almost split in two ways. So I almost feel like this episode, we're basically going to be talking about everything for the first time because last night we didn't even have a chance to talk about it. Like last night we were so focused on getting the facts together for that one. So this is, you're really seeing this. Like I wish you could see what's going on in this room right now. I mean, this is in real time. Like,
I know. This is going to be such a good one because we really like, this is an example where we haven't spoken about it yet.
Let me tell you what happened. We watched the episode. Obviously, Julie does the initial outline. And then I knew because as we were watching it, so many things were coming out. Like that's when Scott Borchetta released his statement and stuff. So we rewatched it and Julie went in the other room and started working on the Taylor Swift outline. And I rewatched this episode to fill in all the blanks to this outline. So a lot of moving pieces, but thanks for sticking with us. And here we go.
Let's get into it for the last time.
Okay.
Also, it's so important to note this is the season finale. So this is going to be our last recap episode for a little while.
It's very sad. I was really loving the recaps, but there's so many other, obviously.
Well, we're going to have now we get to do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, there's
pretty cool.
A plethora of things in the world of Kardashian that we could do bonus episodes on. So don't worry. Here we go. So the episode kind of starts out by doing the same thing that they did previously, which is they're showing the first cheating scandal and they're showing the scenes from last week. And the whole conversation kind of centers around the fact that Khloé was not allowed to really freak out the first time. Obviously, you guys remember when this happened for the first time pre-Jordan, she was 9 months pregnant. Like she had a baby to take care of. She could not have that same visceral reaction that she had this time. And everybody was almost tiptoeing around that issue because they had never seen her fully freak out about something like this.
Right.
Right? So we go to Courtney's house, and she's doing this photo shoot for Poosh, which Julie's like cheering on in the corner.
Oh my God, it was the best part of the episode.
So Kim and Courtney are having this conversation about how they really feel like Chloe just isn't letting it out. And they're afraid that she's going to explode, which honestly, first of all, she did, which we get into later, but so are we. Like,
yeah.
I felt the exact same way. Her level of calmness, it was almost like when you, in a tornado, like the eye of the storm, like it's calm and then it fucking goes batshit. That's what this was in a lot of ways. And Kim basically says, like, let's take a girls' trip to Palm Springs and see if Chloe's down for it, kind of escape all of this and just clear our heads, which anytime they even mention the Palm Springs house, we could not be more down. Because
I have to say, best investment they've ever made. That Palm Springs house gets so much usage. So much.
I know. You would think that it's maybe for like weekends one and two of Coachella. Oh, hell no. Feeling a little down? Palm Springs house. Like, want a girl's getaway? Like, I would go there if I owned that house. Forget about it.
But they're so, you know, the thing about having a vacation house, a lot of times it's like, okay, use it in season or use it when you're going down for something specific. This is just, oh my God, best decision they ever made. Can't, and you know what? Can't believe they functioned without it previously.
Same. I feel
how?
That is how I feel about so many things. Like, that's how I feel about Kim's house. How did Kim Kardashian and Kanye West ever exist in a time when they didn't live in that house?
Where did Kim hang out before that bathroom?
Yeah. What, her closet? Is she crazy?
What, the living room?
Okay, so now they're in the car. This is a very important scene because we always love to sit, like, we always love when the scenes in the show are so reminiscent of an exact social media time that we remember, which I'm about to get into. So they're in the car. It's Chloe, Courtney, Kim, and Malika. And I wrote, and Chloe's pink Birkin because, quite frankly, it stole the show. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, she's wearing this like massive pink coat with this hot pink Birkin. And we got so many DMs about the Birkin. I was like, trust me, I'm freaking out too. Forget it. Anyway, so Tristan's texting Chloe because he just can't stop, apparently. And she's like, oh, Tristan texts again. And he's saying, you deserve a spa day. And she's like, shut the fuck up. And obviously, so are we.
Yeah, duh.
Like, you deserve a spa day. No, no problem. Just like hook up with my fucking sister's best friend in the entire world. But like a massage will take it all away. I mean, I guess what is he supposed to say? Like, what else do you suggest? But
not that.
Not that. Although in his defense, which I can't even believe I'm saying those words, there is absolutely nothing he could say that would make me like smile at the thought of him. So he could have said anything and I still would have been down for it. Anyway, so, you know, Chloe's just saying that there's so many texts and she isn't really responding. And at this point, it's only been 2 days. So what she says, she's like, I have to make sure that my mental health is okay so that I can be there for me and for my daughter. Which, of course, as we said, like, true was her priority. This was really interesting. If you guys remember when this was all actually breaking, Kim posted a video of them in the car singing these songs like Get Your Own Man, super shady, super catty on the way. We see in this episode the behind the scenes of them doing it. It didn't come across, and tell me if you agree with this, as planned as it seemed when we watched it on our phones, meaning it seemed like that was just Courtney's playlist.
It was. What happened was Courtney put on this, quote, breakup playlist that she had. And the song that came on, they all looked at each other like, how fucking fitting is this? So they're all singing to it. The way it seemed from the other lens is that somebody went through, picked that specific song, and they sang it and released it on social media platforms. That's how it seemed prior to seeing this episode.
Yeah, which was honestly kind of, not that I needed another reason to like the Kardashians, but it made me like them even more. Because I was like, okay, that would have been super shady of you. And it wasn't.
Right.
I mean, or so they say, and I'm going to choose to believe them. We get into later some like major drama about that, but let's just go chronologically. So now we're back at Kylie's house. And personally, the conversation between Chris and Kylie is one that I really was dying to see. Like, I think that number one, you know, Chris is definitely, with the exception of Kylie, the closest to Jordan for sure.
Yeah.
She was like a second mother to her, number one. And I think that Chris is the only person in this moment that Kylie was being 100% truthful with, because I think she was holding back a little with Chloe because she never wanted to feel like she was victimizing herself when clearly Chloe was the victim. And I think with Kim, she almost didn't want to rile her up maybe.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is that Chris and Kylie just have such a special relationship that I think that Kylie, you know, maybe wasn't even willing to open up, regardless of their reactions, just didn't want to open up to any of the other ones, period.
It's very possible. So Kylie says to Chris, she knows she put me in an uncomfortable position, to say the least. Honestly, we're like not really talking. And Chris is saying, you know, this is like a divorce, which is what we have been saying this entire time. This is fully a breakup.
I mean, they consider them, they literally used to say they're married. They're like, this is my wife.
Yeah. And Kylie's saying that she's like so upset because she cares so much about her family. But she's like, I also care so much about Jordan. It's not like this happens and all of a sudden she just forgets that she ever cared about Jordan. And she says, Jordan is the most important person in my life. That was super intense.
It's so heartbreaking. The Kylie scenes honestly get me more than the Khloé scenes did, because I just, you know, at least Khloé knows where her loyalties lie, in the sense that it's like herself first, her daughter, that's it. It doesn't matter about anybody else. With Kylie, it's like there are these conflicting feelings of like, I have to protect my sister. I know I do. It's blood over, like blood is thicker than water. At the same time, Jordan has been in my life and like done everything right by me up until this point. And also it's like, I'm sure she feels this overwhelming sense of guilt that she still loves Jordan. Like, it's just a lot of emotions for Kylie to deal with. And also, Kylie is so young.
We forget that. One, because of her empire. Two, because of the fact that she's a mother. Like, her image. We forget the fact that she's literally 21 years old.
I mean, and in this episode, it's like she blew me away. She's so, like, mature.
I can't wait to talk about that.
I can't wait to talk. We'll talk about it later. But it just goes into the reasons why we forget how young she truly is.
Totally. And so in her conversation with Chris, we then get these flashbacks. And it was like the producers were trying to fucking kill us. It's a montage of
montage. A montage.
It's like Kylie and Jordan growing up and all of their times together and everything from, you know, when they were in ninth grade to them being at Kylie's house. And it was so emotional. I don't know about you.
I can't handle it.
I was very choked up. So Chris asks, she's like, listen, just on a totally practical level, like, where is she living? And Kylie says, she's like, you know, she knows she can't be here, but I didn't actually tell her she couldn't stay. She just knew and she went to her mom's. And then she says, and I quote, she's on some sort of personal journey that I'm obviously not supportive of. What was interesting to me was that, we obviously didn't talk about this, so I don't know your thoughts. It was like, instead of saying she just made a mistake, it was like I felt like her saying she's on some sort of a personal journey was almost making it evident of like this one action is indicative of a bigger thing that she's clearly going through, because no one that wasn't going through something like that could have possibly done something like that.
And the other thing that's interesting about that statement is that it was before Red Table Talk. So it's not like considering, you know, she did this one thing messed up and then did a whole press thing. And this is a journey that she's on through this one specific thing that came prior. I think there are other, maybe not issues that they were having, but other things that maybe are coming to light now that Kylie's now looking back on and realizing, like, okay, this was kind of off. Okay, this is part of this. This is all fills into a bigger picture.
If you remember when this happened initially, one of my first thoughts was like, even if Kylie, I'm saying back and like when it actually happened, even if Kylie 100% forgave her and they went on, I said to you, there would be no part of her that wouldn't feel a little weird with her, with Jordan and Travis being alone at the house. And I almost felt like this was a scene where she was rethinking all, like you just said, everything she's been through with Jordan and probably like going through her mind.
Interesting that you say that, because I just don't know if I agree with that statement.
I do.
I know you do. And I'm not saying for you not to, like, I just don't know if I do.
I'm not saying that Jordan would do anything with Travis. I mean, Travis would never be in that situation. But I think that, really, God forbid, he's like not equating him to Tristan even. But I'm saying, I think that it's only human nature for Kylie to start to really think for a second about.
Yeah.
You know, about if that's,
well, and that's one of the things that Kylie was saying, was like, if you can do this to somebody who's this close to me and my family, then you can do it to me. And that's why I'm scared of you. That was the word she used. So I get what you're saying. I don't know if I necessarily agree that like Kylie's necessarily thinking that, but I understand where you're coming from.
She then says, I just don't know how we're going to mend our relationship if she doesn't fix it with Khloé. And she says, like, when I found out about this, she's like, all I was thinking about was Khloé. She's like, everybody keeps asking me like how I feel. She's like, I'm number one, I'm numb. And number two, like, I'm less concerned for myself. I'm really just concerned for Khloé. We have always said this, that Kylie and Khloé have an incredibly close relationship.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's always stuck out more than Kendall and Khloé, more than anyone almost. And this was like, talk about a bond. And this was so interesting. If you guys remember when this all broke, the Jordan lip kits were on sale. And in our
this was so interesting.
In our initial episode when it happened, we were like, we were fully wrong, but at the time we were like, there is no fucking way that Kylie didn't know about this. We're like, she's way too calculated. That's what I said, at least. I think you may have been right, but I was like, there's no way that she didn't know about this. Like, nothing goes on sale without her permission. And you either agreed with me or you said—
I disagreed with you. I said that, I think, and I could be wrong, but I think what I said was Kylie's position in the company isn't the day-to-day what goes on sale and what doesn't. With that being said, it is unlikely that somebody would have made a move like that without consulting her, without at least telling her about it.
Right. So what we find out in this episode was that that was not nearly as calculated as we all kind of thought. And that what happened was Kylie literally saw that the Jordan lip kits were on sale. Like, she saw on Twitter and she's like, oh, I thought it was Photoshop. She's like, and then I went onto the website and I saw that they were. She was like, that was a sale that I had approved weeks ago because they were changing over the packaging from white to black. So there was like six lip kits that they were trying to get rid of. And the Jordan one was one of them. She's like, and when I saw that, I obviously immediately took them off sale, but the damage was already done. I can only imagine how frustrating that must have been in that moment.
You know what's interesting about that playing out? If I remember correctly when that happened, everyone's reaction to that was like, oh my God, that's so shady. But I don't remember anyone attacking Kylie and being like, how dare she do that? So wrong. Like, I think that public perception of Kylie in this situation was so different than public perception of Khloé. Khloé, everyone was really ready to attack, and like they were either protect or attack. With Kylie, it was like let's just leave her alone. Like, it could be shady, but it wasn't wrong. Do you agree with that?
I completely agree. No one was 100%. No one was necessarily shading her, but I think it was more so. I think Kylie wasn't concerned about public perception. I think she was concerned about Jordan thinking that she did that.
No, totally.
That's what was
going
on.
But I'm saying is, it would have been like Kylie having the Jordan lip kits go on sale. If there was a good American Jordan jean that had gone on sale and it was a similar situation, people would have attacked Khloé. If I'm remembering correctly, I don't believe anybody attacked Kylie for this. I think it was just like, oh, that's a shady fucking move.
I think you're totally right. And then she says, the scene ends by her saying, like, I just hope there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but I don't see it right now. Okay, we are pausing to tell you guys about one of our favorite companies. You've heard us talk about it before, but we're going to talk about it again. We're here to talk about Third Love. Julie?
I can't say enough good things about this bra. I really can't. It's the best bra I've ever owned.
Okay. So Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. The thing about Third Love is that they have more sizes than most other brands. So they have more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes, which is amazing, by the way. Like, if you're a B and a half, you're in between a B and a C, how many times does that happen? Also, the convenience of it. You can skip the trip. So you find your fit with the Third Love online fit finder quiz. You order it. You try it on at home. And there's no more of those like weird fitting room experiences where someone's like chasing you around with a tape measure. I mean, I so vividly remember feeling that way and just hating it. Also, I've been super transparent. I don't wear bras ever. I don't, like, for myself, never. This is the only bra that I wear when I have to wear one. And Julie knows that's the truth. She's nodding.
Hardcore the truth.
So here's how the quiz goes. You answer a few simple questions to find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date. It's fun and it takes less than a minute. So the thing is, breast shape like matters so much when finding a good fit. And you can identify your breast size, the shape, the fine styles that fit your body. It's so customized. Like, isn't that a good way to describe it? It's just so...
Yeah.
we're literally the biggest advocates.
I can't say enough good things. I really can't.
I know. The best thing is that there's 100% fit guarantee. So every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, put it to the test. If you don't love it, you can return it. And Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. It's amazing. Also, the returns and exchanges are free and easy. So Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/celebs now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. Again, that's thirdlove.com/celebs for 15% off today. Okay, now back to the show.
So there are obviously so many different reasons that people have for wanting to learn a new language. Maybe you're going on an upcoming international trip or just want to pick up a new hobby. Maybe you're looking to connect with a new culture. Whatever the reason, I want to introduce you to Rosetta Stone because they really are the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app. And I think the biggest difference with them is that they truly immerse you in the language you want to learn. So for me, when I was abroad in college in Barcelona, I was never fluent, but I felt like I kind of got it. I could hold my own during the time that I was there. And when I got home, my dad said to me, Emmy, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And he was so right, because like I completely lost it. And I've really been wanting to get that skill back. And I found Rosetta Stone to be really helpful in doing so. So first of all, they are the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. And it's fast language acquisition. So they immerse you in many ways. It's no English translation. So you're really learning to speak, listen, and think in that language, which in my experience, I know that I'm starting to get it when I find myself thinking in the language. There's speech recognition. So they have a built-in true accent feature, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's kind of like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient. So desktop and app options with audio companion and ability to download lessons offline. And then it's an amazing value, a lifetime membership that has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Common Spice Celebs listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/comments. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/comments today.
So we now transition back to the Palm Springs house, which, again, we are just so thrilled anytime we're there. We could literally...
Nothing could have happened in this episode. I would have still been happy at the Palm Springs house.
It could have been no one and just, like, the chef in the Palm Springs house. We would have watched the entire thing. Mm-hmm. So first off, Sia sends a video just, like, saying how sorry she is for Chloe. And it's always funny to see the behind the scenes with celebrity relationships. Like, I knew they were close, but I didn't know that Sia was sending her a personal video. It was almost like she sent her a cameo.
Yeah.
You know?
Celebrity cameo breakups. Yeah. That'd be fucking funny.
And Courtney is still on this thing of, like, Chloe, I just want you to scream and let it all out. So they FaceTime Kimora Lee Simmons, who I have always said is a fucking boss. Like, yeah. I've always been a fan of her from the Baby Fat days. Like,
oh my God, please. I loved her.
And she comes out guns fucking blazing. And she's like, listen, you guys are too nice. She's like, this is ridiculous. Like, you deserve to be mad. You need to show that you're mad so that you can demand the respect. She's like, fuck this bullshit of everybody thinking they can walk all over you. Like, that's not you guys. Stand up for yourself and stand up for these people trying to take your men. And we're like sitting there clapping.
We're like, fuck yes, Kimora. But I have to say that if you saw on Twitter and like the internet this morning, she got a lot of backlash for that scene. People were not down for her.
They felt like she riled.
Not just that she riled Chloe, it was like, it was from the perspective of people who probably already dislike the Kardashians. It was just like, it brought it back to the narrative of the amount of people that the Kardashians have had relationships with that have been in previous relationships, like the whole Blac Chyna situation and all of that, and Kylie and Tyga. So people were like, you're going to tell them to get mad. Meanwhile, they've done similar things. I don't agree with that. I'm just saying that, like, there was definitely a public perception that Kimora was a little over the top.
Mm-hmm. So Chloe kind of has this awakening. I think it was partially Kimora, partially the tequila. And she's like, fuck, you're right. She's like, you want Chloe Money to come back? She's coming back. And I'm like, fuck yes, Chloe Money. Which, by the way, in our regular episode when we do the Kardashian recap, we will obviously talk about Chloe's birthday party where she had the Chloe Money sign and name glow, obviously. But anyway, so... she says to Kim, she's like, you and mom have calmed me down so much and like, we're better than this and this is not who we are. You're going to ruin our name. She's like, fuck that. I'm so done with this public perception game that we're all playing. I deserve to be mad. And in that moment, I kind of had a couple things. Number one, I totally get where Chris and Kim are coming from. Obviously, like, don't react out of pure emotion. Think it through. I get all that. But then I was thinking, if this was Kim, which I cannot imagine Kim ever being in this situation, but if it was, she would not be so calm. Like, she'd be, listen, she'd be rational and she wouldn't tweet out of emotion. I fully believe that. But she would do, I think that Kim would be really, like, calculatedly spiteful in a really positive way almost. She wouldn't behave the way Chloe did, but I don't think she would have 100%, like, glossed over it.
No, I honestly am not 100% sure what she would have done. But I'll tell you, I thought that whole thing about Chloe calming down and at the hands of Chris and Kim was so interesting, because first of all, the way I feel about this episode, and we're gonna get this obviously more, is that this was the most behind the scenes we've ever gotten. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole comment about, you know, I used to be, you know, so angry all the time and I used to react and I don't anymore because Chris and Kim made me calm down for the purpose of public perception. I just thought that was so interesting to hear. Just, you know, because she's right. Chloe always was the one with a temper. We don't see it from her anymore. And it was just that piece of information that was like, you made me do this. You made me like this. And it's not just in this moment. It's over time.
Yeah, she's like, it's across the board. So she says, she's like, you know, we're not doing this the Kris Jenner way anymore. That's what Kim says. They call Kris and they tell her that. And then Chloe's like, listen, call Kanye. Like, that's someone I can relate to at the moment. So they call Kanye. They get Kanye and FaceTime. Let me tell you. Tell me this isn't Pete Kardashian. We're in the goddamn Palm Springs house. Kanye West is on FaceTime and they're drinking tequila. Like, what?
First of all, Kim here is so funny. Like, I love seeing their, like, real interactions, because Kanye's, like, the connection wasn't working. So he was in a dark room, like, it was all black. And she was like, I can't see you. Like, I need to see your face to speak to you. And he's like, why? And she's like, I'm not doing the goddamn Bird Box challenge with you. I was like, that's fucking funny.
Yeah, no, it was very funny. So Kanye kind of, like, you know, is totally in support of Chloe and getting it all out and all that kind of stuff. And Malika makes a joke like, yeah, Kanye says just tweet it out and then you'll feel better. It was very funny. Anyway, this I thought was fascinating. So Chloe then, first of all, they're going on a FaceTime rant, by the way. Like, everyone from Chris to Kanye to Kimora Lee. Like, they're just FaceTiming anybody who will listen. It was kind of like when you're in a panic and just need to talk about it.
It's also so, like, relatable. Like, there's been so many times where, like, I feel like all of our friends, like, have sat down and it's like, FaceTime this person, FaceTime this person, FaceTime this person. Like, I feel like everybody does that.
That's what we do when we have, like, a really good day when we want to tell people things. It's like, yeah, we go from calling, like, my dad to my aunt to your mom to, like, Isabel's mom. Like, you know what I mean? So they FaceTime Savas, who is obviously Tristan's best friend, but also has become so close with Chloe. And he's at Tristan's house. So he, like, runs upstairs to take the call, like, you know, not to talk to Chloe
and
in front of Tristan.
And he says, he's like, I went upstairs. And Chloe's like, oh, you're with the devil?
Yeah, she's like, oh, you're at the devil's house? She's like, fuck you, Tristan, if you can hear me. And I'm just like, oh, my God. I see it building in her. Yeah. Like, I feel it. And Savas is like, I have never seen Tristan like this before, ever. Which, good. Quite frankly, you know? So this was really, really interesting. In all of the promos leading up to this for the past couple of weeks, we've seen the scene where Chloe is sitting there screaming liar at the phone. In the last episode, when we were talking about this, because I was saying how excited I was for this week, I said this is when she was lying on the phone, when she was saying that Tristan was a liar. And everybody, like, messaged me like, love you guys, but by the way, that's not what she was saying it about. She was saying about Jordan on Red Table Talk. I was actually right. Like, I thought
how
that I was wrong.
How bold of them to assume that we were wrong before even seeing the episode.
Well, you thought, everybody thought I was wrong. I thought I was wrong too.
I never said you were wrong. I just wasn't sure.
I thought I was wrong too. I was like, oh, duh, that's about Red Table Talk. But it wasn't. What it was Savas tells Chloe that Tristan says that he didn't kiss her. And that's when Chloe screams liar. She's like, they both admitted it to me. Like, you can't go back now that you realize how much damage has been done. You admitted it to me. So Malika's obviously there.
Oh, God, this part broke me.
Tell them.
Malika's there, obviously, and she does the interview where she's talking about Chloe and how she just hopes that she can find somebody who will treat her right. And she starts to cry, and she's like, I know she's going to be all right. I'll make sure of it. And she's like, really, it just... Malika is the definition of ride or die.
I totally agree with you. I really do. So they go upstairs, whatever, and they're doing all these face masks and trying to, you know, get, I don't know, deal with the pain. Chloe's very drunk, and Chloe and Courtney are kind of playing, like, remember how back in the day they were very rough with each other? That's kind of what was happening. They were, like, roughhousing. So they call Chris, and Chris is like, okay, go to bed. And Chloe's like, okay, Oprah. I don't know why I just thought that line.
And it was so funny.
Yeah. So we wake up in Palm Springs. Everybody's a little hungover.
We all woke up in Palm Springs. The episode switched scenes, and all of a sudden I was opening my eyes in the Palm Springs house.
I fully felt like I was there. And this was, I think, my favorite scene of the entire episode. This was when Kylie calls Kim, and Kylie is truthfully, like, the voice of reason in all of this. She calls...
Which is usually Kim, I have to say.
Yeah.
Or Chloe.
Yeah.
The Kim and Chloe usually switch between that role. I've never really heard... And it's because Kylie isn't on camera as much. I've never heard Kylie really take on that role.
So Kylie, you know, calls Kim, and she basically is confronting her about the Snapchats of them singing in the car. And she says, and I quote, I think we're bigger than this. I think we're bigger than this and better than this. And if you want to get mad and call her and scream at her, or we can all talk, that's fine. But we don't need to bully. That's all I'm saying. Because she saw the videos of Kim in the car singing, like, Get Your Own Man as bullying. Kim had deleted them before Kylie even called her and, like, recognized that it was wrong. She kind of just did it in the moment and didn't mean to. But I felt like Kim had a real realization of, like, you know what? Kylie's right. Like, this is – regardless of how fucked up it was, Jordan has been in our family forever. This is not the way to deal with it.
There's two things I have to say about this. One, when Kim's like, I had them up for only 5 minutes and I deleted them, but it was too late, like, whatever, they're everywhere. I was like – Kim needs to know at this point that 2 seconds is all it takes.
Not even.
Any of them put anything up on social media, there's a 1 second life to it before it's everywhere else. And, like, you just can't delete it. And Kim needs to know that and, like, understand that fully and think things through before posting. And this is just an example of showing that they're human and they make mistakes. And this was just a mistake. But I will also say that I, as heartbreaking as it was, loved Kylie in this. Just... the voice of reason, yes, but also, like, trying to be so protective over Jordan still and, like, trying to spare her feelings. And she's crying, and we finally see, like, that emotion in her. It was just, oh, my God.
Well, she starts crying when she says – she's telling Kim that Jordan came to get her stuff from the house and that, you know, she wanted to talk to her because, like, she was just going to come and get the stuff. And Kylie's like, well, can you come inside? Like, can we talk? And she said she came inside, and she's like, I just saw the look in her eyes. She's really going through it, and she broke down on the phone. And that was – so emotional.
Yeah.
Because forget about Kylie, whatever. Like, just think about Jordan for a second. Imagine seeing Kylie for the first time and having dealt with, like, oh my
God. I just
God.
Can't even imagine. I can't. imagine Kylie having to deal with being so torn, not even torn between the two of them. It's not like the two of them are putting her in. It's her own personal feelings that are like, it's my sister. It's my best friend who's been there. Like,
I know. The next scene was also one of, there were a lot of really good scenes with Kim. So they're at, we leave Palm Springs and they're at Kim's house and it's Kim and Jonathan sitting in the kitchen. And Kim's saying that like the publicity from all of this is insane, which again, we're like, duh. Like, and she says, I loved this part. She's telling Jonathan that she texted Larsa and told her that she had to stop commenting and like speaking to TMZ. She's like, because it's not right and it makes everyone around us look like they're trying to profit off of this situation. And she says, it's looking super fucking lame of you answering TMZ, walking down the street. It looks like we're all looking to get a little extra shine out of this situation.
Fuck yes.
First of all, I never in a million years thought that we would see it. It was almost like Kim was pleasantly reprimanding Larsa. That's how it felt. She was being so candid about it, which was so cool.
Behind the scenes.
And also, like, I remember watching that video of Larsa. Number one, her commenting on the Hollywood Unlocked post. And number two, her walking down the street kind of talking to TMZ and being like, listen, it's not your place. If Khloé's not going to do it, who the fuck are you to do it?
Right.
Like,
Larsa's still talking to Hollywood Unlocked. She gave an interview recently and was like, you know, if Jordan had just apologized after this whole thing, then they would have just moved on. It wouldn't have been, it's like, stay in your fucking lane.
And she may have gotten approval from that. I don't know. But in this particular scene, I really got where Kim was coming from. And she's like, Kim saying to Jonathan, she's like, everybody's saying like the Kardashian PR machine. And she's like, we're not doing anything. Like, the internet is literally out of control. Here's the thing. The Kardashians do have a PR machine. I remember watching this all unfold. It wasn't them. They didn't have to blow up the story into anything that it, like bigger than it was.
The story was the story.
The story was the story.
I was sitting there and I was like, come on, just mention there's a podcast. Mention there's a podcast. Like, I thought there was like a 0.0001% chance. I was like, and this podcast came out.
Could you imagine?
No, I would have dropped dead on the spot. We wouldn't be doing this right now.
On the spot. Well, someone messaged us and was like, when she was looking at the comments, when she was saying that someone comments, she's like, she knows about you. Like, she saw the comments. I was like, yes, she knows comments exist.
Yeah, she's heard about Instagram comments before.
It was so funny. So this was, I mean, I know I keep saying this, but all of the scenes were so intense.
No, the whole, I honestly, with everything going on with the whole Taylor Swift situation, I forgot that this episode was also fucking incredible and so intense. I thought it was like another recap that we're doing. And then as we're going through, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot.
And it feels like another life. And it was less than 24 hours ago. So Khloé pulls up to Kim's house, by the way, in her, I think it was the Rolls Royce truck, wasn't that what the car she was driving? And it was fucking sick. If you follow them closely, Khloé's been recently posting on her story, like the Platinum Group, which is like a car, I don't know, car detailing place.
Yeah,
like,
that was
and it, it looked like the car in that. Anyway, so Khloé gets into her car and Tracy gets in the car with her and she's like, what the fuck? Jordan is doing red table talk. And they tell Kanye, they're like, what is going on? So while Khloé and Tracy's obviously their family publicist, are in the car, Tristan is like calling Kim and Kim doesn't answer.
That was cool to see too.
Yeah. So Khloé's freaking out. She's like, did Jada tell anyone? Like, get my mom on the phone right fucking now. So Khloé's now on the phone with Kendall and Chris. Kendall and Chris are together. And she's like, are you kidding me? Jordan can't call me to apologize. She never once called me, not one time after she admitted it, but she can fucking go on Red Table Talk. Like, Khloé was fuming. I would say more fuming than last night when she called Tristan a liar because she was fully sober at this point.
Yeah.
And she's like, Mom, did you know about this? And like Chris is saying, she's like, yeah, Jada texted me to tell me about it. And Chris responded and was like, oh, I don't know about that. And then Chris said that she told Jada to call her the next morning and that Jada never did. Khloé
flips on Chris.
Fully flips on Chris. She's like, wait a fucking second. Jada texted you to tell you that Jordan is potentially doing Red Table Talk and you didn't say a word to me? Are you kidding me? She's like, you are so concerned about your relationships and perception and what all this stuff that you're not being supportive to your own daughter. It was like,
that was a fight with Kris Jenner that we haven't seen come out in a while. And if you remember in the early seasons, that was one of the biggest criticisms of Kris, was that like she was so business focused that it left her kids kind of in the dark. And a lot of people said that like once Mason was born and once she had grandkids, that part of her kind of calmed down a little when you saw a softer side of Chris. So this was an argument that they have had many times in the past, but that hasn't been brought up in a very long time.
At all. And Kendall was with Chris and she was also yelling at her. She's like, you're dancing around things, Mom. Like, you're not being totally open about this. So Chloe says, she's like, don't back down because these people have no loyalty to you. She's like, we are your family. We are your tribe. She's like, we have your back. She says to her, she's like, you don't have to tell me twice. She's like, I will have your back always. She's like, and I just sometimes wish it was the same from you. She's like, I know your intentions are in the right place, but you're just so concerned about how you're perceived. She was really having, you know, I think that your average person can't understand this dynamic between a mother and a daughter or a parent and a child, because most people's parent are not also running this massive empire that involves their perception. So typically it's like your parent is there for you as your parent before your business partner or anything. Like it's much more rare that it's not. So this was a, I would imagine, honestly, that this happens in other relationships where the parent is the manager, not just the Kardashians. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was just super intense. So she's just like, Chloe now that she sees like that Chris, she feels like Chris isn't even with her. She's a full-blown basic panic attack. And she's like, who gives a fuck about a brand? Everybody's so worried about a brand. She's like, this is my life. Like, my family was ruined. What don't you get?
The thing here is that that's so hard about Chris being the mom and the manager at the same time is that in Chris's eyes, and as Chris who always thinks big picture, it's like, I'm protecting her as a mother in the long run by protecting her brand and our brand and everything. And one day she's going to be thankful that she didn't blow up and that this didn't get taken out of control and that everything kind of remained calm and she was able to move past this. But Chloe obviously in the moment can't see it, and that's where the differentiation is. That I don't think Chris was doing this as a way to protect their brand fully or as a way to just like brush Chloe's feelings under the rug as a way to you know, keep all of her relationships good and not have to burn any bridges. It's just Chris is big picture, and in this moment, Chloe just couldn't think like that.
And also, one could argue that taking care of her on a business level is taking care of her on a maternal level because the two are so tied.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah,
yeah.
The correlation between the two.
I think what Chloe wanted was basically Chris to just like hug her and be like fuck everyone, and that's not really what she was doing. She was doing a little bit of damage control. I don't think that any of us can speak to how we would be in that situation.
Right.
I think it was a really hard place, but I totally got what Chloe meant. So we're just going to take a second to tell you guys about Ava Fertility Tracking Bracelet. So if you've ever struggled to conceive, then you know that getting pregnant isn't always easy. Timing is everything, but it can be tough to know when your chances are highest. Which days are you most fertile? Are you tracking your fertile window accurately? So if you've ever wished that you could understand your cycle phases in real time, because even with a lot of these very like popular period tracker apps, there's a large margin of error. And it's important. It's obviously super important to know like when you're menstruating, when you're ovulating, all of these things. So this is what Ava is. It's a Swiss startup company dedicated to advancing women's health and to breaking taboos around discussing the menstrual cycle. So it's a wearable CE-certified medical device in the form of a comfortable bracelet that uses cutting-edge technology to detect different phases of the menstrual cycle in real time. An amazing feature about this is that it's only worn at night. So even though the bracelet is like totally comfortable and stylish, it only needs to be worn while sleeping. So you go to sleep wearing it, you wake up with more insight into your health and natural cycles. I also just personally love this fact. 20% of the price of Ava goes directly to the company's medical research and development in women's health. Okay, ladies, it's finally time to understand your body. Visit avawomen.com to learn more. And for listeners of our program, you can receive $20 off your order by going to avawomen.com/celebs and using the code celebs. Again, that's avawomen.com/celebs and use the code celebs for wherever you are in life. Okay, now back to the show. So they're at Kylie's house in this next scene for this, like, quote, family meeting, which, by the way, MJ is there. Just,
I wouldn't have, would you have wanted MJ there if you were in this position?
Well, it,
I wouldn't have wanted her to see, like, everybody so upset.
Well, I only wouldn't have wanted her there if I felt like I had to hold back, but clearly I don't hold back. Like, she saw Kim's sex tape. Like, what else can
I do? No, that's not what I meant. Like, not in the sense that, like, she had to hold back on details. I just felt like, I don't know, I wouldn't want MJ to, like, have to be there, and her heart's going to break for all of them being so upset. It's just like, why put MJ in that position?
I know. I think she was happy to feel, I think it made her feel, I know, like, it made young her feel
part. Yeah, she exactly. likes being a part of everything. Whatever makes MJ happy makes me happy.
Yeah, me too. So, you know, like, Chloe just still can't get over the fact that she didn't, that Jordan hasn't contacted her. And Scott's sitting there, and Scott's like, listen, she could be terrified. Like, you guys kind of are pretty powerful people. Like,
so we've heard.
Like, I don't know if you got a
rep around town.
It was very funny. And she just, like, again, Chloe just can't get over the fact that she did write table and didn't apologize to her. So she says, she's like, yeah, in response to that, she's like, yeah, she's scared to come to me. Like, she should have been fucking scared to touch my man. But you know what? She was too comfortable. I have to read an email we got from this girl. She, like, emailed us, wrote on our website, did everything. So I have to read it. She was like, I know you're watching this, but she's like, I have a question that I need your opinion on. Do you think this would have happened if Chloe dumped Tristan when he first cheated? And she's saying, I think that this wouldn't have happened because if she dumped him, they would have all been talking bad about him. She's saying, like, I know that when my friend dumps a guy, if I were to see him, I would avoid him because it's awkward and has a bad view on him. So she's saying, like, in this hypothetical situation, if Jordan did still kiss Tristan, do you think it would have had as much of an impact? She's like, I hope this makes sense. I'm frantically typing. I think that it would have had a large impact, but not the biggest one. Like, I don't think it would have been as – it would have been pretty much almost equally as bad, but not as intense.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to say. I think that, you know, that argument makes sense. That's like, had they broken up, this never would have even happened because there would have been so much negativity surrounding Tristan. That doesn't make sense to me because there was already so much negativity surrounding Tristan. Anything that was said about Tristan that came out of Chloe's mouth or from the family, Jordan was privy to and did this supposedly in spite of that. So I don't know. It's Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah. And all, I love when you throw out the little psychological references. And I think the other thing that's important to note here is, like, her saying that Jordan was too comfortable.
That was an interesting line.
It was an interesting line because I almost feel like she would have never said that if this didn't happen because all they would have wanted is Jordan to be so comfortable and be part of the family. I mean, she was living with Kylie. She was helping to raise Stormy. Like,
but how does comfort equate to this situation? Because you could say Malika's as comfortable as a person can get, but that would never happen. You know, there were a lot of lines in here that were definitely a little confusing for me. And this was one of them. And I think we're going to get into the other one, like, really shortly. But I'm just not understanding what comfortable means in terms of this whole situation.
Exactly. I think, like, I almost felt like comfortable was being switched with loyal. Like, I don't know. It was very bizarre. Yeah. Something was weird about that. I think she was saying comfortable in the sense of, like, maybe she didn't think that Chloe would have reacted as much. Like, oh, I'm in for life. Doesn't matter what I do.
Yeah, maybe. Or comfortable in the sense that it's like, okay, I can hang out with Tristan. I'm part of the family. It's like as if any other member was with him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kim then, this is just a kind of weird point that I wanted to make.
This was the other thing that I was going to say.
Her asking Kylie?
Yeah.
Kim asked Kylie, like, what she's going to do with all of Jordan's stuff.
But what does that mean?
Like, of course she's going to give it back to her.
But, like... like, what? Like, it's not like she's... the way that I wasn't sure about was, like, okay, Jordan has stuff at Kylie's house because she was living there. Obviously, Kylie's not keeping that stuff hostage. But then I wasn't sure, does Kim mean all of the, like, physical things that Kylie has given to her as gifts? It's not like Kylie's going to ask for those back.
Oh, you're saying, like, the car that she bought her?
Yeah, or, like, a bag or, like, a Birkin. It's like, first of all, it's not like Kylie needs those back. She's doing just fine. It's like... it's also not in Kylie's nature or any of their natures to be like, give me all my stuff back.
I don't think that's what I know. I see your confusion. I don't think that's what Kim meant because I don't think that Kim would have ever expected Kylie to take anything away. I think she was genuinely asking more so like logistically, is she going to come take the stuff?
Yeah, very weird.
Very weird.
Another weird line.
So Kim poses a really interesting question to the group and to us where she's like, do you think ignorance is bliss or are you happy that you know? Like if you had the choice... And I thought this was so interesting. Chloe says, when I was married to Lamar, I didn't know a lot of things until we started going to therapy and everything came out. With Tristan, in order to know things, you need facts. And when he cheated on me when I was 9 months pregnant, I knew he was a bad person. But I just didn't know that Jordan was one too.
I have to say, it didn't really answer the question.
I think that, yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
What do I think about the original question or what do I think about what Chloe said?
Anything. Just what are your general thoughts?
On the surface level, ignorance is bliss, but like... God, if this situation and she never found out, imagine True being 12 years old and having to explain this to her. It's like, yeah, you think ignorance is bliss until it happens at a later date and you have to find out. Ignorance is bliss only lasts so long. You could only live in that world for such a period of time.
Yeah. I also want to say that it was interesting when she says, when I was 9 months pregnant, he cheated me. I knew he was a bad person. To me, it was like, that almost solidified my belief that after the first time, as much as she was like, quote, trying to make it work, it was doomed after that. Like what she's saying is that she knew at that moment that he was a bad person. A bad person is not a fleeting thought. A bad person is not like saying he's going through it. When you're a bad person, that sticks with you. That's why I think that they were never really going to work on it. There was no way.
Do you think she's only able to look back now and be like, this wasn't just a mistake, he's a bad person? But if you had asked her 10 months ago if he was a bad person when this happened, would she have said that yes?
No, maybe she wouldn't have said it, but I think she felt it. And that's why she was lying to herself.
And she wasn't willing to admit it.
You listen. It's one thing to, like, a random girl one night and a thing, like, fine. Maybe. But the publicity of that first time when your girlfriend is 9 months pregnant and knowing it was going to – having no regard, I'm sorry.
No regard.
forget it. MJ chimes in and she's like, it's such a betrayal. And Chloe says, it's such a betrayal of my soul, my spirit, my heart. Got me.
Yeah, they always mention soul and spirit and it always gets you.
I know. Well, obviously that's like my language. So let me take you now. They're at Chloe's rental house and they're
taking us to Chloe's rental.
We're really traveling.
Best family vacation ever.
We're really traveling around California.
I know.
Because we just woke up in Palm Springs.
I know. We're already at Chloe's rental.
No traffic. So Chloe's sitting with True and Penelope and Courtney, which like just forget about it. Anytime Penelope's in a scene, I just lose my mind.
I know.
Julie writes, Mason swags on in.
He literally swags and he goes, what's up?
He's so swaggy and cool and just like the coolest little fucking kid ever. And it's very funny. They have this like funny back and forth. And Mason says he's going to go upstairs. And she's like, okay. And Mason's like, but don't say anything inappropriate. Like,
well, first of all, Mason's trying to spy. And he's like, I'm not going to go upstairs. It's funny. I would have loved to know the situation from like Mason's perspective, what he thinks is going on. Because he's the only one that's really old enough to be aware. But so he's not going upstairs. And Chloe's like, why don't you go up to True's room with everybody else? Come on, Mason, go up to True's room. And he's like, you know, I'll go, but just know I'm going to be listening. And she's like, I'm sure you will be. So he's like, just don't say anything too inappropriate. It's like, you are such a little person. You're so funny and so Scott, and I just can't get over
it. He's so Scott. So Tristan keeps texting Chloe, like, will not stop. And she's saying, like, she's like, you're the one who did this to me. Like, why are you torturing me? And she's telling Courtney that Tristan's saying, like, you're my soul, you're my partner. And Courtney's like, if you're his soul and his partner, like, why the hell would he treat you like that? It's the exact same fucking way that we felt when he posted that birthday post. You're the most beautiful person I've ever met. The most beautiful human I've ever met. That's how you treat the most beautiful human you've ever met, you piece of shit.
It's just really confusing to me because he's saying all of these things and it's like, oh, whether, you know, whether you choose to believe the narrative, which obviously we don't at all, and we've said it a million times, that Tristan did this as a way just to get out. Or that either way, Tristan did not want in this relationship anymore. If you cheat, especially with the best friend of the family, you want out of this situation. Whether it's, you know, you're doing it to get out or you're just doing it and you also want out. I'm not understanding why Tristan is now fighting to get her back or trying. It's just such a manipulation.
I think it just goes on what we were talking about last time, that to his core, he's a raging narcissist and he doesn't want to look bad in her eyes, even if he doesn't want her. You know what I mean? This was, to me, was like one of the most interesting lines of the entire episode when she says, like in response to talking about the text, she's like, either he's realizing now that what he did was bad, or maybe he just knows that these are things to say. The reason I found that line so interesting is because I felt like she was looking at him like a psychological case study as if he is a sociopath. And that's how she's like, maybe he just like looked up in the dictionary that this is what you say when you cheat on your girlfriend. Like, she was basically saying that there's no way that these are his raw emotions because he simply doesn't possess them. That's how I felt.
That line was really, really interesting because I think that's always how we felt also, that like he doesn't possess that emotion. And it's just by the textbook. And I was looking at a tweet the other day that kind of reminded me of this, and it was talking about like, it's completely off topic, but talking about like how guys who claim to be quote nice guys are so set in that and do things so by the book because they don't know what women actually want. So they're so focused on what they think they're supposed to do. And that's what this reminded me of. Mm-hmm. That it's like he just knows what he's supposed to do, but can't feel and understand what he's actually supposed to do.
Did you have the same thought that I did when I was watching this? I was wondering if any of this applied to their sex life. Like, do you think that he's like a, you know, like giving partner?
No.
Like that's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking there's no fucking way.
No, I can't imagine that. But I don't know.
I would love like some insight.
And here's the thing about Chloe based on her personality. And I'm not saying this is definite, but just if you're going based on Chloe's giving personality.
Yeah. I know what you're going to say.
Not that she would necessarily be okay with that, but it's more important for her to please the other person
than
to be pleased.
I don't need
to
come every time, but like,
right.
Yeah.
But as long as you do.
Yeah. I swear to God, when we were watching this, that was all I was thinking about. Like,
I've had that thought about Chloe a lot.
I just want her to explain what that was like. Like, I wonder what it's like to be sleeping with someone who has this intense level of narcissism while simultaneously having this need to appear favorable.
You know, it's really interesting, like, if we're looking at this from just like a sex life perspective, because we also don't know what Chloe's other relationships are and like what guys were like in bed with her. But if you're going to compare her two major relationships, which is this and Lamar, who was a sex addict, was obviously operating in an incredibly hedonistic style, which was what's best for him in terms of sex. Tristan as a narcissist would obviously or presumably be doing the same thing. It's just interesting to think of that from that perspective. Mm-hmm. Because Lamar was, and I know this is going to sound crazy, Lamar was more intuitive of Chloe's feelings than Tristan was. I think Lamar genuinely cared and had, you know, obvious problems that prevented him from being able to truly show that or truly, you know, step up and be the man that he wanted to be. I don't know if Tristan ever cared.
I don't know if Tristan has it in him is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he genuinely possesses that
capability. And I think Lamar has it in him, and it was just demons that we can't understand. I don't think Tristan has that capability.
No, I think that Lamar was suffering with addiction, which is a very legitimate disease, whereas Tristan didn't have that necessarily. He has a real personality issue, perhaps.
Yeah.
Totally interesting. That's why, like, I would love to sit down with, I mean, in my ideal world, this would never happen, sit down with Chloe and with, like, a sex therapist and have her mm-hmm. outline some of her relationships. Because you know what I wonder? What if, like, if she was paired up with a guy that was like, you know what? It's all about you. Like, I'm going to go down on you until you're just, like, fucking dying. And see if she would even be comfortable with that. Like, I think that she's so used to being in this role of being the giver in so many aspects of her life.
Yeah. And you can see when she's making her bed and spraying the Febreze on it. It's like, if your goal is to constantly make the other person, and that's your, you know, your belief of how you get love, right? And I'm not just saying this specifically about Chloe. I think this is a thing that a lot of women have and probably a lot of guys too on the reverse. If your goal is to constantly make the other person feel, you know, comfortable at their best, drive their ego, like, and that's how you think you're going to get love in return because you're making them feel the best and you're hyping them up, then your bedroom experience would presumably be no different.
Exactly.
It's really, really interesting.
Isn't it an interesting phenomenon to think about?
It really is.
Yeah, I want to, like, do research on that. She also said to Courtney, she's like, you know, as much as she, like, hated the text, she was like, I actually appreciate it because it's the first time I'm getting anything from him. She was like, when this happened when she was 9 months pregnant, she's like, he was living in the same house as me. Like, he didn't have to do all this to try to get me back. We were physically together. She's like, I actually appreciate it because I feel like at least I knew I mattered to you in some degree. She's like,
I hate that line.
I hated that line too, but I felt like it was her. The reason I didn't even want to critique her for it is because I felt like it was her clinging on to any sort of
hope that her judgment wasn't so off in him, and that there was a part of her that can still say, like, at one point he loved me. And I a message to all, let's not confuse manipulation with actually caring. This is manipulation.
The point that you just made, though, was like, I'm so glad you said it, because that's exactly what I was thinking before, is that I didn't look at this as her clinging on to the last bit of hope for him. It was her clinging on to the last bit of hope, like you just said, of her judge of character. Because that's what I think was making her go so crazy right now. It was like, she feels like her judge of character is so fucked up that, like, maybe if there was a sliver of hope that he really did care about me, I wasn't so wrong. That's what it was to me.
And I think so too. And that's something that we've spoken about. It's like, my thing with Chloe moving forward in relationships is not so much how do you trust someone else again. It's how do you trust yourself? And how can you be so wrong, not just once, but twice? I mean, say what you want about Lamar and where he is now and the strides he's made. It's like, she was still wrong about what she got herself into and what she presumed that relationship was going to be. Same in this case. And it's like, how do you trust your own judgment going forward when everything's going against you? And it's not that Chloe's a bad person, or she's just, I think she's such a good person that it sometimes is to a fault.
I completely agree with you. She says very plainly, she's like, there are no amount of phone calls and text messages that are ever going to repair me and Tristan. I don't know what self-respecting human being could take anyone back.
But she said that.
Same. We're taking a quick break to tell you guys about Honey. I know you're probably wondering, what is Honey? Well, first, let's talk about something that we can all agree on, which is saving money. Honey is a free browser extension that scans the web for coupon codes and discounts while you shop online. So it automatically applies the biggest savings to your cart at checkout, like magic. It works on over 20,000 sites, for example, Amazon, Nordstrom, J.Crew, Nike, Best Buy, Target, Macy's, the list goes on. It takes zero effort to install, just two clicks, and you'll start saving anytime you shop online. Personally, I tried this, and I did it on Nordstrom. I was buying a pair of shoes, and I ended up saving, like, I think it was like $19.27, something ridiculous. And I was like, wow, I had absolutely no idea. I ended up getting them for like $81, and I was expecting to spend way more. So I can attest to the fact that it really does work. This woman, Irene, tweets and says, I totally thought At Honey was a scam, but I just got $300 worth of bathing suits for $180. That's the thing. I think a lot of people think that it's a scam, and then you actually use it, and you're like, oh my God, this really works. So that's the thing. You probably are thinking it sounds too good to be true. It's free. It saves you money. What's the catch? It's pretty simple. When you use a coupon provided by Honey, they earn a small commission from the merchant and they pass along some of the savings to their members. So really, it's a win-win for everybody, which I love that they're so transparent about that. So look, there's really no reason not to use Honey if you're shopping anyway. It's free to use and easy to install on your computer in just two clicks. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/CBC. That's joinhoney.com/CBC. Honey, online savings simplified. Okay, we have two more scenes left, guys. So the next one is Kim was talking to the camera about how, like, Khloé got really pissed about Red Table Talk and started just tweeting. And she's like, obviously she shouldn't have done that. But she's like, Jordan went on Red Table Talk to speak her truth. Khloé felt like she had a different version, so she started jumping in. And, of course, we can all sit back in retrospect and be like, that wasn't the right move. At the time, she physically couldn't control it. This was so fucking interesting. Kim is at Khloé's rental house, and she wants to go in to make sure she's okay. And before she walks in the bedroom, she's like, I have the cameras with me. Like, is that okay? I've never seen that on Kardashians, or at least in my recollection.
I don't think so either.
Of them, like, even confronting the fact that there are cameras with them.
Yeah, like, the acknowledgement of them. It was really interesting.
There are these, like, gorgeous red roses, and Kim's like, who are they from? And she's like, Tristan, obviously. I mean, I was shocked that whole room wasn't fucking filled with Jeff Latham flowers if Tristan was smart. Anyway, so Khloé's talking about the tweets to Kim, and, like, we said this, that even though it was so wrong that she did it, I can only imagine what she was going through in the moment. And she's like, I tweeted out of emotion, and I shouldn't have, but I don't understand how this flipped. Like, how is this narrative flipped? How can two people do something so wrong, and all of a sudden I'm the fucking, like, the bad one here?
Yeah. I understand how it was flipped, and we spoke about this after the Red Table Talk episode, that it was like, if Jordan's account of what happened was truly right, then there's no reason for the family to be mad at her for what transpired that night. If Khloé's thought on it is, one, what Jordan said isn't true, so she's not operating under that assumption that there are even people that are understanding Jordan's side. Two, her whole thing is that Jordan never apologized. So it's like, every way that Khloé looks at it, Jordan's wrong in some respect. There's something she did wrong. There were people looking at it, they're like, there's nothing that Jordan's done wrong. How dare this family vilify her for this? And that's where the disconnect between Khloé and not understanding how the narrative was switched
completely came from. Also, I feel like we just have to acknowledge how calming and rational and, like, perfect Kim was in this scenario.
Middle child
and Libra. Like, she really was a combination of both of those things. She was so on point with this whole thing. What was interesting is that Khloé was, like, voicing the fact that she's like, I feel bad that people are saying that you know, Jordan takes the sole blame for being the reason they broke up, because her one tweet made it seem like that's what she meant. She's like, that is not what I meant. She's like, of course it takes two people, but, like, she's a part of it. Like,
right.
It was just, oh, my God. She said, this was really emotional. In her confessional, this is where she's in that blue, which everybody DM'd us about. Yeah, she looked gorgeous with the diamond shrew choker and, like, the short blonde hair and the blue
outfit.
I have
to say, I love them in those thick chains. That one Kim outfit where she's in that gray shirt and the thick chain, I love. I die for.
Me too. And she says to the confessional, Khloé, she's like, you have to be really strong for this environment that we created. And she's saying, like, she hopes that, you know, this can make them both better. And she's like, I'm not just a TV show. This is my life. Couple things. First of all, that line fucking hit. I'm sure it hit you all as hard as it hit us. But number two, I was really glad that she said, you have to be really strong for this environment that we created instead of this environment that we're in.
Yeah.
Because it took the ownership of, like, I know that this is only so public because we have made our lives so public. No one could call her out being like, what the fuck? You made this environment. She's calling it out directly there. I was so glad she said that.
Another line I really liked was, whether she, you know, truly meant it or not, was when she said, if this can make them both better people, I can handle it. I'm strong enough to, like, go through that as long, like, if they're coming out. And it's such a Khloé line to have that perspective, that it's like, well, at least they fucked up and it may have been at my expense, but they're going to be better people because of this.
I genuinely don't believe she's just saying that for the camera.
I don't either. I think it's a really Khloé thing to say. And I will say that I think Jordan could come out of this a better person. I don't know if there's hope for Tristan here. But who knows? I don't think anyone's a lost cause completely. I don't know if he's, I don't know. I don't know if he'll ever
get there. Let me tell you something about Tristan. If Tristan decides that he really wants to settle down and be in a marriage, it's going to have to be a known thing that it's going to have to be an open marriage. That's, in my belief, that's the only way that he'll have a successful relationship. And there are a lot of women that would be thrilled to do that.
Truly. Do you think there's any scenario where he can work on himself enough to get to a point where it wouldn't have to be an open marriage? Or I have a question. Do you think he would even want an open marriage? Because if the way he is the thrill of cheating, then an open marriage does nothing for him. It's not just about sex for him. Mm-hmm. Lamar, you can say, okay, the way he was, it has to be an open marriage. And he's willing to be, you know, so good to the person he's married and then also sleep around because it's part of like his addiction. Or and not that everyone who has an open marriage is a sex addict. It's just like it's about sex at that point. I think Tristan gets off on the chaos that he creates. So mm-hmm. I don't think even an open marriage would be a logical thing for him because there's no chaos then. It's just permission. Mm-hmm. It's boring.
You're right. That's a great point. I don't know. Well, I really don't know. Then what's his life? Just a continual stream of breakups or...
Because here's the thing about Tristan. It's like... like, yeah, obviously there's like some, you know, sex to it why he's cheating, but... Don't tell me you got off on one kiss with Jordan.
No, I mean, listen.
It's not like, it's not like you kiss and came and it was the best night of your life.
That was about
chaos. That was about doing something for, I don't know.
That's the most interesting part about all of this. It wasn't like he was like I couldn't get off. The baby was crying all night. Like, I had to just like, what the fuck? Like, no.
What do you get out of it?
It was a kiss. Yeah. What he needs. Like, if that
you
was
get his, manipulation out
exactly.
of it.
If that was his thing, he would have some like really sick room in his house where he can go in, put on whatever like dirty shit he watches and just like jack off for as long as he wants. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't need to kiss Jordan Woods to like make his dick hard. Let's be really like straight up in that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, the last scene is Chloe calls Chris to apologize for how she basically freaked out on her about the whole Jada Red Table Talk thing. And she was so calm and she was like, you know, I just felt like you weren't defending your own kids. And she's like, listen, nobody else is going to stand by our side the way that our family will. She's like, and I just feel like everybody's so focused on pleasing everyone. And she's like, I know that you want to protect Kylie. I know it. She's like, but it just hurt me. And Chris was so understanding. It was such a productive and like healthy and beautiful way to end, I felt.
I so agree.
Yeah. And then it just ended with like a recap of, you know, video of all of the kids playing and Saint, oh my God, Saint running into Kim's arms.
Kanye teaching North in the office how to skateboard.
Was that whose
I
house?
Think it was an office.
That was an office.
But still, Kanye's got a half pipe. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Look at you, Tony Hawk. Yeah. Scott sitting with all the kids on the swing. Like, the whole thing was just so sweet. And it ended by Chloe saying, it was like a voiceover of her saying, through thick and thin, we have taken those vows and we will ride till the end. And I mean, fucking moment of silence. It was an excellent episode.
Really excellent, excellent finale. Excellent, and I can't wait for next season.
I cannot wait. We already are just beyond excited. So that is it for today. The next, our regular episode will air, I don't know, either tomorrow or the next day. So we're all figuring it out. But this was incredible. And I can't wait for next week. I mean, going forward, we're just going to do Kardashian bonus episodes. That
and send us suggestions. Like, we're, yeah. Yeah. We have a list. We want to know what you guys want.
Yeah, we have a list, but keep sending. Okay, we love you guys. As always, if you feel so inclined to write a review, it really, really helps us. It takes 3 seconds, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. Okay, love you.
So I'm a big fan of transparency across all aspects of life. Like, generally speaking, there's pretty much nothing I wouldn't rather be told straight up. But specifically when I'm buying something or paying for a service, I just want to know what I'm getting myself into. And oftentimes there can be so much nonsense or so much yada yada. For example, sneaky terms hidden in the fine print of contracts, or bills that randomly go up without properly alerting you, or budget airlines with cheap fares but then exorbitant fees to make up for it elsewhere. And we just should not need to be dealing with this type of yada yada in our lives. And yes, you could read every single word of every single contract, and that's one way of avoiding it. Or you can go with a trusted brand like Metro by T-Mobile that helps you to get ahead and not pull you back. That's right. You don't take yada yada from life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and not a yada yada, which honestly gives so much peace of mind. Like, you shouldn't have to compromise for an okay option with sacrifices when you really deserve that full transparency. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.